guess the PAC went off and reviewed the environmental assessment by the mine and all the submissions. And what we sort of see in their review is quite a lot of detail in there that springs from the environmental assessment, and not a great deal of our concerns that have found their way in there seems to be reiterating the proponent's point of view and not really addressing some of our concerns.
Some of the issues you raised, and I'd like to walk through some of them with you, you had requested that the mine be taken underground. What do you make of their response to that? They've said that they don't see that being possible, but what do you make of their decision?
Well, I think they've missed the point of our submission. What we said was that the mine itself is only going to mine 160 million tonnes of the billion tonnes that are in the lease, and that they're going to have to do underground mining anyway. What we said was that we'd like to see an analysis of, you know, what it would mean to mine the whole thing underground and avoid clearing the forest, buying all the offsets and, you know, creating all that dust. So one of our recommendations was that a full project plan for the entire reserve be developed, and that developed plan have a cost-benefit analysis done for it. We didn't see any cost-benefit analysis, and we just really saw a reiteration of what the mining companies already told us in private meetings. It appears that those discussions have gone straight through the Planning Assessment Commission.
Now, you mentioned dust. What do you make of their findings on the impact the dust will have on the region?
Well, Gabriel said that the mining of the PAC didn't have to, you know, consider the cumulative impacts, but my reading of the terms of reference from the minister said that cumulative impacts of dust was a primary concern, and that, you know, our analysis shows that at least 18,000 tonnes of dust will go into the atmosphere if the winds prevail from the south, and that inversion layers and other catabatic flows from the Capitar National Park will lead to a dust fall of the dust in our area. None of that seems to have been addressed. It just seems to be a broad brush sort of, you know, assurance with words such as should have and maybe that an air quality monitoring network will, mitigate these concerns. I mean, one of our concerns is that, you know, to do with the water released the other day was that if there is an issue with regard to the dust, they'll simply apply for a licence to, you know, have a temporary breach or, you know, some way of getting around strict conditions that may be applied.
How do you see the irony of that playing out, given that there is a current issue that hasn't, well, the community feels, I understand, how they're meeting today, they felt it hasn't been dealt with properly, the council are asking questions about the EPA's involvement, given those sort of mitigation measures are being questioned now for a current incident, what do you think of the idea that the PAC thinks that these issues can be mitigated and controlled?
I guess one of the things that the PAC did say was that there should be a compliance officer in the area, and I guess we would agree that compliance is a pretty important thing. We also think that the underlying legislation needs to be beefed right up. You know, if there's a breach, there is a breach, and there needs to be compensation or there needs to be a penalty in place so that, you know, it doesn't happen again and something that's meaningful. The fact that, you know, there was just a phone call made, the EPA guy just basically filled the form in over the phone, to us doesn't really show any ability to have any sort of faith in the way that the system's administered or investigated. The compliance area is a major concern and it needs to be beefed up. One guy could easily be affected. He could be on holidays. He could be at a meeting. He may never even be there if he's sort of scattered between 10 or 15 different mines. So, you know, we're sceptical, I guess.
So where does this leave your group, this decision?
Well, there's still more sort of processes to go. I guess we're sort of a little bit, concerned that this PAC review was basically just a restatement of what was contained in the proponent's environmental assessment. And if this is a merits review of the environmental assessment, all it's really done is keep us out of the Land and Environment Court where, you know, I think that, you know, a properly constituted court would look upon the clearing of 1,364 hectares as actually a a bit of a threat to the environment.
What will you do next? What can you do next?
Well, I guess we'll just follow the, you know, make submissions to the next Planning Assessment Commission, you know, outlining our concerns with regard to the cumulative dust impacts, the impacts that we, you know, looked at in terms of farmland and offsets and what have you. But I think we'll also need to think a bit more about how we go forward. It seems as if you make a decision to go within the process, all that happens is you just gradually wear down and different experts come in and challenge your experts. I think the George's Island thing has really shown that that's the way to go if you're going to try and get government to listen.
So you feel now effectively that this process has failed you so significantly that the only options communities really have is to take their form to a type of picket or protest?
I'm not sure if that's the process that we're advocating, but I'm saying that if you want to get government's ear, that appears to be the way to do it. We put $40,000 or $50,000 into different submissions. We engaged a range of experts. A lot of that expertise wasn't counted. You know, we don't really have any confidence. I mean, an example of the way that the EA was basically cut and paste in is that we had, you know, negotiations with the local council and with the coal company itself and came to an agreement about the alternative route for the Laird's Forest Road. Well, what's in the planning review assessment is that the Laird's Forest Road will be closed. And that was part of the original EA before any of the negotiations. So, you know.
And yet you've been promised that would be addressed and resolved.
Well, we've been promised that this will be addressed and resolved two or three times. And for this to come back the third time is a bit of a concern.
What's this journey been like for you and your family, Phil?
I guess personally for me, I've sort of thought that, you know, the change of government was a great thing, that the Liberals and the Nationals would come in and clean up the process. And I think to a certain degree, they have tried to be seen to have cleaned up the process. But for us, we have tried to take a very positive view. We've tried to engage in the process and we've tried to provide, you know, additional information into the process. And for us to get to this point is a bit disappointing. It does take over a lot of your life and, you know, I guess you do things that you didn't expect that you would be doing 12 months earlier. Having said that, I've met a lot of interesting people and I think it's possibly been a good thing.